Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. We're back for the matchups episode for the offense in this Week 8 matchup against the Browns. Joining me to talk about it is Frazier Tafar. Frazier, how you doing?
Doing good. Glad to be on for the offensive matchup show. Ravens have another big test against a good Browns defense who right now not doing so well as a whole, but they have real motivation to do well against this Ravens offense.
A lot of talented playmakers, a lot of guys have given the Ravens trouble in the past, even though Lamar Jackson has a pretty good record versus the Browns. Miles Garrett, Za'Darius Smith, JOK, their corners in particular, have been a group that has at times tormented the Ravens, and hopefully they'll be able to deal with that. But what do you have for us for the first matchup?
Yep, first matchup for tonight is Stanley versus Miles Garrett. This will be Stanley's first real big test this season. He has looked really good overall for the past 6 weeks since his injury issues that we've had the past 2 years. Looking to see how the Ravens will help him, but really focusing to see how he does one-on-one in terms of anchoring and continuing to show that bump he gives to Lamar, but against a good pass rusher to see if he can continue to hold his weight.
Yeah, that's should be a good one. I think the Cleveland outside pass rushers versus the current Ravens to really do warrant additional set and chip blocks. Cleveland's also a team not afraid to blitz at all, and they have some speed to do it in JOK in particular. So it's a good opportunity to get Hill a lot of snaps in this game as a pass blocker, get him assisting there. Now Henry will get his touches. It's not going to reduce his number of times he handles a football, but Hill for passing downs is usually a good idea. He also gives you a great secondary option if when he leaks out of the backfield. One of the nice things about having extra people held in on set and chip blocks is that it also usually will slow the play down, create an extended play, oftentimes by without pressure. You can get an ATS opportunity out of it just because you had extra blockers. Sometimes you'll overcommit and you'll have seven blocking four, or certainly happens. You have six blocking five or six blocking four. But if you leak those players out of the backfield late because they're making a decision, making sure no one is blitzing that they might be responsible for, that has a natural play extension quality to it that allows Lamar to see the field a little better. And right now, Lamar is seeing the field and reading the field so well. Any additional time there is a good thing. Sure, Lamar can beat the blitz. He certainly did this last week, but he was great under all situations. ATS, BOQ, all pressure, he was good with. So I think having plays that are slower to develop actually is probably very good for matching up with Lamar's skill set. Give Bateman some chance to double move somebody like he did on the 49-yard play, et cetera. I think you gain a lot. And they just need to make sure that they pick up those blitzes. You know, don't put them in a position where Cleveland is consistently getting Jackson uncomfortably off his passing spot. One guy getting through, slower guy, forcing him to roll right, that's okay. All right. Multiple players getting after him, as we've seen, you know, can lead to trapment and it can lead to some really bad decision making, too. We saw that from Lamar this last week. Lucky the flip out of bounds didn't end up being worse than it was and was just an intentional grounding that was later called back because he was down by a sack anyway. But need to avoid those kind of situations with Lamar. Hopefully the snaps will be better this week as well. But I think the double teams to slow down both Garrett and Smith are very warranted, and I hope they make good use of that.
Yep, and I think the Ravens will the offensive line will definitely have a bounce back game this week. I other than the outside tackles, the interior played pretty poor last week. And I don't know what that means in terms of what the game plan will be. And like, I know last week we kind of avoided the run game in the beginning of the quarters. And then at the end, we really established it when we had the game in hand. Are they going to continue to try and throw first, open up the run, or are they going to try and attack Cleveland head on this week?
I mean, I think we're going to see a set of scripted plays which probes at Cleveland every which way, and a kind of an every orifice cavity check on their defense. That should be kind of fun, actually, because that's one of the things that's really been cool about Monken's offense the last few weeks is how these scripted plays have been so good.
Yep, and I don't know where the scripted plays have been really good this year, and especially when we're in the mode of being very counter-effective in what we do and trying to break tendency. An example was that fake toss and jailbreak screen to Flowers in the first quarter. That was definitely an example of what we're doing to try and show the defense something different. But moving on to my second matchup, I have the Ravens wide receivers versus the Browns DBs. I expect them to generally have the same game plan like we've talked about. Stack the box against the Ravens and force them to play man coverage on the outside. We've had Bateman and Flowers break out individually. Flowers might not play this week, but if he does, can they both win one-on-one consistently against the top-end secondary that Browns provide?
In a little way, I don't want to overstate what the Browns bring defensively because they're nothing really like the Chiefs at all. But right. in this way, they're a little bit like the Chiefs. They can hand the game over to their cornerbacks. They're not quite at the level that the Chiefs are, but they represent that sort of with Ward in particular and Emerson. You know, they have guys who they can trust in man matchups better than a lot of other teams that the Ravens have been facing. The Bucs who had McCollum was pretty good, but then they were injured on the other side. I'm forgetting who missed the game there. And then Tyke Smith got injured during the game, which exacerbated their problems. But this is a team that can do a little bit. They can rush the passer. They can create problems for you in the run by throwing bodies at you. And I do expect them to do that. I expect them, the Commanders, the Bucs, and now the Browns, I expect them to be very similar in terms of how they approach trying to stop the run. Bucks, it was funny. You know, we talked about this on the offense show, but the Tampa Bay only used 4.15 defensive backs per play. Now think about that for a minute. That means they essentially played base defense the entire game. That means they didn't really even play nickel. They have two committed linebackers. They had five guys at the line of scrimmage. That's seven. And then they basically had four defensive backs the entire game with a couple exceptions that they had an extra guy on for nickel. It's the most extreme commitment to run defense that I can remember in recent years in the NFL, certainly even against the Ravens, who've had a lot of teams that would justify that sort of an approach. But anyway, they got very heavy and they still allowed 244 yards rushing. So I think we'd have to say it didn't work. But this will be interesting. I think we'll see some similar stuff from the Browns.
I'm curious to see if a team breaks out that 2018. Yep. What the Chargers did. Exactly. Are they going to bring out all those DBs and see if the speed can beat the Ravens in the run game? I don't know if you want to take your chances trying to tackle Henry with a bunch of DBs, but yeah. I'm going to be curious if someone does break that out this year.
So it was Gus Edwards. Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious high potency gummies, top shelf flower, home baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary. You can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, Not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tab, also on them.
Service plan required for watch or tab. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Birds. And I guess Hill was their third back still back then.
No, I think it was Kenneth Dixon.
In 2018, right?
Because he had that big catch over in the middle.
You're right. Hill wasn't even drafted until the next year, was he? It was a 20 draftee or a 19 draftee. But he's in his fifth season right now. Yes, you're correct. 20. Okay. So... wait, is he in his fifth year or is he in his sixth year? Did Hill get signed for 2 years last year? I think Hill might be in a 19 draft pick. You can look it up while we're going through this. But anyway, I knew exactly what you're going to say as soon as it, because you know, the Chargers got late. They won the game at the line of scrimmage. They were incredibly effective, and they played almost that entire game with seven defensive backs on the field. It's a different way to go, certainly, and they had a lot of flexibility in what they did. I don't think the Browns have the personnel to put seven decent or even halfway decent defensive backs on the field.
Okay.
All right. So I want to talk a little bit about what I think needs to happen to really make the Browns fall apart defensively. And that is, it's similar to what happened with Tampa Bay, but the Browns are worse at it. Browns have at the base, they have a pretty good run defense. They're pretty good at denying space, and their edges are pretty good edge setters. Okay. Both Smith and Garrett, good run defenders. You'd be perfectly happy with those guys setting the edge for your team, even if they weren't as great as pass rushers as they are. But what they don't have is good tacklers. And so they have just utterly failed in terms of getting other teams on the ground. They have a 16.2% missed tackle rate for the year, a 31st highest PFF grade in tackling. And I feel like I just said this last week about the Bucs, but the Bucs were better actually. The Bucs, after their horrible game against the Ravens actually held the Bucs to a 25% missed tackle rate on the game. They've missed a fourth of their tackles last week, which pushed their aggregate missed tackle rate up to 16.2%. That's where the Cleveland Browns are starting this week. Okay. So I'm hopeful that, you know, you get that kind of a matchup. The combination of elusiveness and power that the Ravens offer when they can get a guy into level two is really going to pay off for this team. They're defensive linemen and their edge guys, of course, all okay tacklers. The guys who really are terrible are in level two and level three, and getting an opportunity against them to create some tackle problems will be one of the really fun things. Responsibility goes around. Running backs, receivers, Jackson all need to be in on this, and they should really create some additional explosive plays off broken tackles in this game.
Yeah, it's going to be a shame if Zay Flowers can't go for a game like this. He has the opportunity to break tackles left and right. Selfishly, I would like them to probably pull up.
How do you think they'll address it if Flowers is not available?
That's a tough question. I would like them to bring up, what's his name?
Tez Walker?
Dayton Wade.
Oh.
Because he has a lot of the same attributes in the slot and the gadget ability. Hardy is not good.
Is Dayton Wade, and I haven't looked at the practice guide in a while. He is still there on the practice guide. I completely had forgotten about him. He was a very fun player to watch this summer.
I would love him to at least have some opportunities to run a jet sweep or something, because he can make people miss. If he's not able to go, I expect Wallace to be that guy.
Yeah, Wallace, I mean, Wallace has had some good plays made earlier this season. And obviously, the return of Keaton Mitchell hopefully will move a lot of that gadget burden off of Flowers. A lot of the screen passes should go through him. I don't really expect Keaton Mitchell to have very many carries this year, honestly. You know, I've been kind of playing that over under game with other people. Did we do this? Yeah, we talked about it on the offense show.
Yeah, the other night. Yeah.
So
I think I don't think he's going to have too many carries. I know we said 50. I said 50 yesterday, but now that I'm thinking about it more, it's going to be tough because they're probably going to feed him once or twice in the first couple of games, and then five is going to be the max after that. So I just his bulk of his production is probably going to be in January.
Yeah, three or four carries a game kind of thing seems about realistic to me. Maybe 35 he could get to at kind of the top end. The other thing is that you know, there's no reason to reduce Henry's workload. Sorry, that's not true. There is a reason to reduce Henry's workload. There may be resistance to reducing Henry's workload from Henry's perspective. And hopefully everybody's got their eye on the prize and not where the prize is not the 2,000-yard season, but the prize is the Super Bowl ring.
I mean, I would expect that from Derek. I don't think he's that kind of guy. I think whatever comes along with the journey, Derek's going to be grateful for that. So,
okay.
I think everyone on his team is really just motivated to get to February. We're tired of just getting January and getting kicked. I think this is the year that we're trying to get over the top.
We're after week 16. The Ravens either don't really care about what seeding change could occur after 16 games, but the 17th game yet to be played in week 18.
Yep.
Does Derrick Henry sit, or Derrick Henry sitting at 1,994 rushing yards? Does he say, you're not keeping me out of this game when I'm only 111 away from Dickerson? See, this is what happened in 2003. It was, and then, of course, they played a Monday night game. They had to play again, or a Sunday night game, I think it was. And then they had to play again a short week on Saturday, even though it was home. And Jamal had a big game, got to 2066, fell short, obviously, by 50 yards, even though the game went to overtime, which, that was a good thing. Yeah, because the game was meaningless. And then they had an ineffective Jamal in the playoff game.
Yeah, it's I'm not sure. 100 yards is steep. If it was 60 or under, I think they would go for it.
Okay. I see. I'm to me, all of that is not even in the black to gray area. If you were at 21. Now, honestly, I wouldn't activate him no matter what to break the record. I would say no to the record. But if he's under 2,000 and it's just going for a 2,000-yard season, I know they're rare. I still wouldn't do it. And I definitely wouldn't do something that's a stretch goal like over 100 yards where it's a normal workload for him. I mean, you got to do everything you can to keep the player who can get you through the playoffs, who might be the second most significant player to get you through the playoffs.
Yes.
Healthy. Yeah. All right. Always great doing the show with you, Frazier. Tell folks where they can talk football with you online.
You guys can reach me at Twitter/X at F_Rave8. That's F_Rave8.
All right. Let me know if you like the shorter shows as I promo this, if you think to comment in Twitter or would like to send me a DM, whatever it might be. I'm interested in hearing your thoughts on what makes better content, shorter or longer. I know there are a lot of people who don't complain at all. In fact, they say content is great at the length it is. And there's probably another silent group that's not talking about it. So please hit me up and let me know your thoughts on what makes content better. For Frazier Tafar, this is Ken McCusick saying goodbye, and we'll talk to you next week on Matchups.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line.
And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tab, also on them.
Service plan required for watch or tab. Trade in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.